And Kokise Sila Muchomalo Ivecho. And the son of Hashem Lukacho Biodecho Vishavisu Shivyoi. So it says, the first pasuk, when you go out to war on your enemy, Hashem will give the enemy to your hand and you'll capture some captives. So the problem is, it's a good problem. The Torah makes that the war, you win the war very easy. Because it says in the son of, you go out and you win. Son Hashem Lukacho Biodecho. It's apparently an easy war to win. Meanwhile, in another part of the Torah, in Baaloscha, there we read, "Pichisavo milchama ba'atzachem alatzav atzor eschem haviosem b'chatzotzros v'niskatem l'fnei Hashem l'kev nishatem ha'veichem." A war will come into your land. Your enemies will be attacking you, and you should blow with the chatzotzros and daven. God will remember you and save you from your enemies. So there, the Torah speaks about a different kind of a war which was very bitter, it's very, very dangerous, and you might even be losing it, and we daven, and then Hashem will help us defeat the enemy. So what's the difference? When is it that the war goes easy, and when is it when the war goes very hard? You know, it's a question, you never know. When is it life goes easy and life goes hard? Does anyone know? So he says like this. So he says one teretz from his grandfather, the Kotzke. Kotzke said, in our pasuk it says, Ki seitz ele mulchama alo yivecha, you're going out against the enemy. In the other pasuk it says, Ki tavo mulchama ba'atzachem, the enemy is attacking you in your land. So he says, it leaves it like that. It's a little bit, it needs some more clarification. He says, when the Jew attacks his enemy, then it goes easy. When the enemy attacks us, it goes hard. Okay, maybe, you know, you can explain. I don't know, yes, we have an explanation. How to explain that.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, Rebbe.
No. Yeah. What do you want to say?
So, If the war's coming to you, you know you did something wrong. And you better believe that you're in trouble, so you have to start davening, because the war came to you.
Right.
But if Hashem sent you out to war, or you know, like the king asked the Beis Din, and the Beis Din did an inquiry from the Shemayim, and they said go to war, then you have Hashem's permission, and Hashem will
That's
protect
very
you.
Good Hashem. That's a good Hashem. Yeah. Very good. Okay.
What were you going to say?
No, I wouldn't say anything. I just wanted to hear your shots. Very good. So now the Shemesh Mulk says another pshat. He says the apostle has an internal question. It says Ki seitzei lemelchoma al oivecha. Oivecha is lashon rabim. Oivim, many enemies. Oivecha, there's a yud there. Then it says the next word unesano v'natan oto Hashem lekach b'yodecha. God will give him to you. So it's a funny thing. The pasuk begins that we have many enemies. We're going out to fight many enemies, and God gives him the single enemy to you. What's going on? So he says like this. Says that. His mystical point, maybe it explains some things which are very strange nowadays. He says, we know that people scare animals. Animals are afraid of people. Is that true? That's true. In general, animals are afraid of people. Why is that so? Because people have a special connection to Hashem, Selam Elokim, Boris Adam. God put his stamp into a person, and the animal doesn't have it, Selam Elokim. So the animal senses that Selam Elokim, that this is something which has godliness, and it doesn't, so it runs away. It's afraid. So he says, when Jews could have an extraordinary Selam Elokim, if Jews are keeping the Torah, doing mitzvahs, they have an extraordinary connection to Hashem, and the stamp of Hashem is in the Jew. So then when Jews have that extra Tzelem Elokim, and they have enemies fighting them who don't have it, so those enemies sense the Tzelem Elokim of the Jews and they run away. That's maybe called the secret Jewish weapon in war. The secret Jewish weapon is, if we have godliness, this godliness creates a certain fear of that the enemies have from us. We see it, I mean, since 1948 till today, we see again and again and again in Israel that the Arabs, you know, are the enemies. Many, many, many times they have this irrational fear of the Jews. They run away. I remember in the Six-Day War, the Jews would come and the Arabs ran away. 56 war, many wars like this they had. Even now, of course, a street in Syria, Arabs killing Arabs, hundreds of thousands, are not afraid of one another. They go. They're not afraid of the Russians. The Russians are there with planes and bombing. The ISIS fights anyway. They're not afraid. But in Israel, very little incident here, up here, there, but nothing like that. Why? Because overall, the Arabs are afraid of the Jews. They're afraid. They don't know why they're afraid. They don't know why. You can't explain why you're so afraid. Syria, you're not afraid. Iraq, you're not afraid. Well, why everybody is so afraid? Only one terrorist out of 100,000, he goes as like a suicide, but 99,000 don't do anything. They're also the same enemies in Syria. The answer is there's some kind of irrational fear that they have of the Jews. So we can explain it with his theory. His theory of the Shemesh Mul is that Jews have an extraordinary Tzelem Elokim. So just like when Tzelem Elokim, which is extra, more spiritual energy, creates a fear. It's very interesting. It's an interesting question.
How does it solve the Lashon Yechid?
It didn't solve it yet. It just begins. It's the first premise. Now, so he says like this, now really, to have that full Tzelem Elokim of a Jew, you have to do 248 mitzvahs aseh. So it says in the Zohar that every mitzvah aseh fixes a certain part of the soul. The soul has 248 parts. So every time to a mitzvah, you're getting that soul, that nefesh gets the light of that mitzvah. The problem is that how does this work? No Jew does 248 mitzvahs. There's certain mitzvahs only a king can do, which is only a Kohen can do. So how does any Jew have a complete soul? So it means if he doesn't have a complete soul, he's spiritually blemished. He's a Baal Mum. So how can he win? How can he win the battle and the war through his godliness if he doesn't have a complete godly soul? The answer is because we are all the Jews together. We have a combined national Jewish soul. So I read that there are another five levels of the soul: the nefesh,
ruach,
neshama, chaya, yechida. Yeah. So the nefesh, ruach, and neshama, that's the individual, and the chaya sort of in between. But the yechida, the top level, is all the Jews together. We all share one common identity. We're all one individuality, yechida, yachid, individual. So the male are like that. It's on the yechida level. Therefore, if the king does a mitzvah, a king's mitzvah, he writes a special sacred Torah. It's not just for him. It's for every Jew in the world gets a share of that mitzvah, because in yechida level, we're all together in one national soul. The Kohen does his mitzvah, so every Jew gets part of the mitzvah, because anytime you do a mitzvah, it's not just for yourself, it's for every Jew in the world gets part of your mitzvah, because in the Yechidah we're all part of the same spiritual entity of the Am Yisrael. Ish echad b'guf echad b'lev echad. So Just like, for example, if I put tefillin on my hand, my whole body gets credit for tefillin, not just my hand. So if one Jew does a mitzvah, the whole body of Israel gets credit. Right. And also, this is by the way an idea the Rav once said, that many times said, that this national identity, this ichud, yechida of Am Yisrael, is not just all the Jews who are alive in the world today. It's all the Jews who ever were, and are, and ever will be. It's that whole thing, from Abraham all the way till Mashiach and past, is one yechida, one Jewish national soul. The Rav said in Halacha that sometimes we call this, sometimes there are things which belong to Am Yisrael. Let's say the land of Israel. The land of Israel doesn't belong to any individual, it belongs to the nation. The Rav said, not just the nation today. From Abraham till infinity. All the Jews today were, are, and will ever be all together on the land of Israel. Yes?
The March of the Centuries.
Huh?
Isn't that what you used to say, the March of the Centuries? That was the thing for...
That was the phrase of the centuries, okay? The March of the Centuries. So, that's why, for example, you can't take a vote or give away part of the land of Israel. Because whoever's voting is a small minority of all the Jews who ever are, were, are, and will be. So it's not a legitimate vote. Anyway, so all of Am Yisrael is one. Okay. So therefore, now also, many times a person does a mitzvah, he doesn't do the mitzvah perfectly. He does that mitzvah imperfectly. Something about the way he did the mitzvah is not perfect. Meanwhile, someone else did the same mitzvah, also imperfectly. But Reuven, let's say, got the A part of the mitzvah not so good. Shimon got the A part of the mitzvah good, but he didn't get the B part of the mitzvah so good. But so we put together the mitzvah of Reuven, took the perfect pieces, the pieces of Shimon, which are also perfect, and he created a mitzvah for Am Yisrael, which is a perfect mitzvah. Individually, their mitzvahs might be flawed, but when you put them together, you create a conglomerate mitzvah of everybody together, you get a perfect mitzvah. So that's why when the Jews are united, that makes them super powerful. Because the unity of the Jews means that they're sharing all their mitzvahs together and all their kedusha, and they're creating the super level of Tzelem Elokim. Now, he has a very good question. He says, how can we create total Jewish unity? This is the question of all questions. I consider this the most fundamental question of contemporary Jewish life. How do you create total Jewish unity? The Jews are so fragmented into different groupings. And furthermore, Jews are very strong minds, very good minds, strong opinions. So a strong opinion of Reuven clashes with a strong opinion of Shimon. So because we have Deus Seim shown us, we have different ideas, so it's impossible for us to agree. So how do you get Jewish unity? Everybody wants to follow his own thinking. How can you become united as Ish Echad? So he says this word. He says it has to do this. All the Chassidic Sfarms say the same thing again and again. So it's impossible for Jews to be united unless they bring Hashem into the picture. If you bring Hashem into the picture and you say, whatever my opinion is, but it's for Hashem, it's for God's sake, it's basically I'm trying to I nullify my das, my will, my thinking before Hashem's will. So he says of every Jew who has his own opinion, says, but this opinion is for Hashem's will, for the honor of Hashem. So everybody's focused on this point, the point to do Hashem's will. That will unify them. That will unify them. Even though they have differences of opinions, but because they have this common, fundamental common opinion, that everything we do is for Hashem's sake, that will unify them despite their differences of opinions. You grasp this point?
Yes.
What do you think?
I feel like everyone, the split that exists in the religious world is despite the fact that people believe what they're doing is for Hashem's will. Like,
right.
People reject it. If someone were to make a mizbeah and offer a korban, it wouldn't be accepted by the rest of the Jewish world, you know? And you understand this guy's doing it for Hashem's
thing is, be able to think or to feel on two levels. One level is my opinion is X, and it's against his opinion, which is Y. Another level, we both are thinking that I'm doing X, or I think X, and he thinks Y for Hashem. So on that level of being dedicated to Hashem, we agree. So that deeper level of that we're all dedicated to Hashem should help us bridge our differences. Or at least that the differences be, I respect your opinion and you respect my opinion. That's the tricky point here, is that it's very hard for people to go, even if they say we have a fundamental commitment to Hashem, but the problem is it's probably mixed in with ego also. It's not pure 100% for Hashem. Yes, for Hashem, but of course with the way you see it. So that ego is still at the core. And that creates the splits. What the Hasidus claims is that at the core, it's only Hashem, not me at all, that would create a unity. It's very hard to find somebody like that who's only Hashem and no ego, not me at all. Yes.
So fundamentally, we all agree. So like in the case of a husband who doesn't want to give his wife a get, we say that he agrees. His yitzhar doesn't agree. So fundamentally, he does agree. So regardless of ego, he agrees already. And we're all operating within the same framework of Torah. We're all in the same box. So we still agree, even with different opinions, because they're just different expressions of Hashem's Torah. And each answer is still correct.
Right.
Was it like the Gemara, two different opinions, but like the whole goal is the Shem Shemayim.
Right.
But does that, people don't see that as, okay, with the same analogy, we go and beat up the guy until he gives the get, right? So from the perspective of the guy who we're beating up, doesn't seem like we're unified, but from our perspective, we view it as being unified. So, like, how we view it as someone does something wrong, and like,
it's not his real, it's not his fundamental nature. It's external levels which do the wrong thing. Fundamentally, he only wants to do what's right.
Right, but we also express that either in our words or our actions. And so to that person, or cutting them off because they are their opinion.
Right.
So how does that...
I don't know.
It works from our side. It doesn't work from their side.
You're raising a good question. In other words, let's say only some people or one side has that fundamental dedication to Hashem without ego. But the other side, which is arguing, they still have that ego. So is that enough to say there's unity? If it's only a one-sided unity, that's your question. So what does he say here? I tell you the truth, the Hasidish are very strong on this point. It's a very strong point in Chabad, Hasidus, and Breslov to get rid of ego and to do things only for Hashem, not me. They work on it a lot. And they accomplish a lot that way too. But the problem is, you're asking if only some people are doing this, what about everybody else? So what does he say? That's why, so I don't know, he doesn't really pursue this as much. He just says, if we could get all the people, he talks about all the people, get Shekol Derech, I'll read the Hebrew, if Kol Derech V'Derech, Shebechol Ish V'Ish, Mechuvan, L'Nekuda Achas, L'Asas V'Tzon, V'Nishuv HaShemayim, every way that every person does is focused on that point to do God's will, as yitachen lahem yot ki'ishachat, then they become one spiritual individual. Kol echad ve'echad ke'evam eva klal, every single one is like a piece of the collective. Shor aleim tzam alokim b'shleimus, they have a full divine presence. And then they can go to the war and no tzeach. And that's why it says, ki sei tzei la milchama levecha. You go out as a unit, as a single entity. Then the son Hashem lukecha. Then you, it's just given it to you.
Interesting.
It's a very good verse, by the way. I like this verse. It's very good. Okay, so.
I think you could get the answer despite analyzing the language. Because he's saying each person will go with his way to and all these ways are just expressions of completing Hashem's overarching goals. So, like you said earlier, each one of us is doing a piece of the puzzle. There's a reason why we have an opinion that's different than the other opinion. Both are a piece of the puzzle. Each one has a different expression, a slight difference than the other one. That's the only way that we can complete the circle. So, it's part of the system.
That's true. That's also true. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I like your analogy to a puzzle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that unity to be the pieces of a puzzle which fit together. So each piece is different, but it does fit to the other pieces. That's a very nice analogy. The Jewish people is a kaleidoscope, multicolored, multifaceted individuality.
So even with their differences, that's what they're fulfilling Hashem's will.
Fulfilling Hashem's will is the common denominator, which makes us united, and then we succeed. Right.
Because God's will is multifaceted.
Right, of course. Right. So, he says like this, this is also the Hasidish books say, that if a person has that focus, that what he's doing is for Hashem, is actually, then it goes beyond mitzvos. I mean, that's just basically what he's doing the whole day. He's trying to do things which makes Hashem happy. So it doesn't have to be a mitzvah. So that's what he says, B'chol derochecha do'eyu. That's the pasuk. B'chol derochecha. Whatever you do, all your pathways do'eyu. No, it's for Hashem. They get rid of that ego that I'm involved. Anytime a person feels me, then he's failing on this particular level of b'chol d'rochecha d'ehu. Whatever you're doing, know him, know God, not you. That unifies a person with all the tzaddikim, he says. Then he gets the full tzelem Elokim. And then he can win any battle. He says this was the secret of that Yonatan, with one person, was able to defeat a whole camp of enemies. So that's a secret that the Chashmonaim, a few Jews, able to defeat tens of thousands of Greek Syrians. He says, we're fighting for God's honor and the honor of the Jewish people, so it becomes unified. And then you get the superpower. So that's what it says, Ki Seitze. If you go out as a unified individual, it goes very easy. However, in the other pasuk, it says, Ki tavo'u, you, rabbim, melchama ba'ar tzachem, Russian rabbim, many Jews, you're disunited, then it's going to be very difficult. Then you're going to have daven very strong and blow the trumpets, and then at the end Hashem will help you, but it's going to be very difficult, the disunity. And I'm not a prophet, but I can tell you that I think this thought many times. I see like this, that in Israel, the tremendous miracles, how Hashem protects the Jews from these cutthroat mass murderers. But every so often there is a tragedy, some Jew gets hurt. So I think that because overall the Jewish people is very, very strongly united to do Hashem's will. And mainly the will of Hashem that we should live in the Holy Land of Israel. So to that goal, to live in the Holy Land of Israel, which is a land of our forefathers, which connects us to all the previous generations who lived there. By Sheni, by Rishon, David HaMelech, all the way back, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, so we're connected. That's a tremendous unity of purpose of this great national mitzvah of living under the Holy Land. But there's a certain amount of disunity going on. People are very so bad. But compared to the unity, it's very small. Compared to the amount of unity that we have, it's very small, the disunity. What's the big disunity? I want my rabbi to put his stamp on the kosher. You want your rabbi, so you have two stamps instead of one stamp. It's not a big deal. The whole thing is not a big deal. So the small amount of disunity, but a vast amount of unity. So that's why I think what we see is that there's a vast amount of blessing that Hashem makes the enemy run away from us, but there's a small amount of problems because we haven't yet gotten complete unity. We need that complete unity. When we get it, then it'll be completely quiet. That's the thought.
What was the lashon of the enemy? Also yachad, or
when they come, when it's many, it says kisavou. It says b'tzar hatzorer eschem. So it's the lashon of that the Jews are many. So eschem, lashon rabbin, not united. Harei otem. Whenever it's Lashon Rabbim, that this is a general rule of thumb in Chumash. When you see a pasuk which the Lashon is Rabbim, that refers to individuals. When you see the Pasuk's Lashon as Yachid, it refers to the collective. The Vilna Gaon says that pshat. It doesn't always work, but in a general thing. So when it's Lashon Rabim, it means many individuals. When it's Lashon Yachid, it means one says, Som Tassim Alecha Melech. What Lashon does that mean? Yachid or Rabim? Yachid. Som Tassim Alecha. So Yachid. You individual. Which individual? I don't make a king. The nation as an individual makes the king. There you see a clear pasuk that Lashon Yachid means the nation. Som Tassim Alecha Melech.
So here, he's on the Pesuk Gemara talking about the Jews as unified or disunified, or does it
right.
mention the
Goyim? Right, it says, Ki milchama alay vecha, that means you, individual nation, go out. And the Tanah Hashem will be easy. When you're unified, you can win the war very easy. However, if you're not unified, so then, Batzar Hatzorer Eschem.
Oh, wow.
Then you need a lot of help from Hashem too.
It says etchem.
Etchem.
It doesn't say
Lashon Rabim.
Right.
You're many. You, the Jews themselves are many. They're not unified. That's why they have. There's a beautiful piece. No, it's one of the nicest pieces in the Shem Shmuel. This piece.
So if
one in Pasha's Ki Teitzeh in page Kufnun.
So where did the thing with Moshe's hand just being up?
Oh, very good. Moshe's hand unified everybody to be Meshabed Libam Lavim Sheba Shemaim. They should think all about the same thing, Hashem, that created the unity, and then they won the war. That's excellent. That's a very good application. Perfect. Very good. Yes?
I feel like this unified neshama, the singular neshama of the Jewish people, has kind of learned this over time, like this lesson over time, because like you see when the Jews go out to war, they know they have to be together. You know, like everybody's, for the most part, you see people,
Israelis,
like
when
they go out to Gaza,
war, they're very unified.
Very unified. And the same when Chas v'Shalom something goes towards Israel, when there's a threat to Israel, people realize it's time to get unified. You know?
Right. The big issue with Israel is like this. When there's a war and so on, then we do are unified, and that's basically why we win. And when there's no war, we go back to our old bad habits of being disunified, which then creates a war. Because you're not unified, so now the Goyim are not afraid of you, they attack you. So the trick is to stay unified during peacetime.
So what about the Goyim if they're unified against us? And our unity
their is unity, their, it's a good question. Their unity is really disunity. Because they're not united to serve Hashem. They're united because each one has his own ego, but somehow all these egos have a common goal. So it's what you call a marriage of convenience. It's a practical alliance that the Goyim work together, but basically, it's not the real unity. They say in the Chassidish form like this, that when there's a negative energy within the Jews, the Goyim pick it up and they use it against the Jews. So if the Jews have disunity, which is a negative energy, the Goyim converted into unity among them against us, because we have unity and disunity, so we would use the unity energy would be good, but we didn't use it, so it deflects over to them, and then they get the unity to fight us. It's quite possible that right now the Jews are more unified than we thought, and that's why we're getting a lot of protection, and the Goyim, our enemies, are disunified. They're fighting one another tooth and nail. They now have, what's going on right now is like this, that the Jews are relatively unified, and the Goyim against us are relatively disunified.
Okay. So they have no real power of their own. It's just a reflection of our own power.
Exactly. They have no power of their own. All their power is a reflection of what the Jewish situation is. If the Jewish situation is good, then for them it's bad. If we have bad energy, then they get the good, then they get their kind of good energy. What do you think? Yes?
Is there like an idea of once the Jews are unified, like the Goyim could also be unified? Like, is that, do we care about that?
Oh, that will be in the Mos HaMashiach. In the Mos HaMashiach, the Jews will be unified, and then they will create such a unity that even the Goyim will be unified together with the Jews. The Olam Hashem Bahatzion, Nishbat the Tarei Sabas, the Shem HaMelucha, that the Tzion and Esav and Hashem will be the Melech, or Hashem the Melech, Al Kol HaOretz. Hashem will be on the Goyim too. That's what the Mos HaMashiach is supposed to be. So the Mos HaMashiach is supposed to bring tremendous Jewish unity to such a level that will create worldwide human unity. Yes?
What was in 67, 48, when it was all the Arab states?
They were unified against us, right?
So
the Jews were disunified. The Jews were very disunified, it looks like. At least in between. Maybe the war made us unify, and then there was this rebound that we were able to beat them. But before the war, there must have been very strong disunity among the Jews, unjustified disunity. It's a very challenging thing because we're in a very bitter battle with the Yetzer Hara called Mechemes HaYetzer, the individual Jews and the collective Jews. So we have to fight this battle against the Yetzer Hara. Now the Yetzer Hara, he's an angel, so he knows a lot of things, and he has tremendous power. Was angelic power.
Somebody talks to him.
Right. He knows the power of Jewish unity. So he works very hard to create Jewish disunity. And he loves using mitzvos as a way to get us to do an aveira. Because he knows that we have a tendency, we like mitzvos, he says. So he packages the hatreds and the disunity in a mitzvah form so that we fall for it. It's like a poison bait. The outside it's sweet, but inside it's poison. So the same thing. He puts on the outside a mitzvah, and inside is the poison of hatred. And that, you bite into it, you get diseased. That's what
it
is.
It's good. Is it the unity for each other, or the unity in terms of the sake of Hashem? Like, is it that they just have to get along, nothing to do with God? Or is it because there's the Rashi that says the difference of Bavel, meaning the tower, and the Mabel? It's just that they were getting along, it had nothing to do. I think the Rashi separates in terms of
Rashi. The Rashi says it there and also in other places. So Achav was a king, and he was very successful in wars because under his reign the Jews were very united. He was over the Avodah Zarah, so he didn't have this idea of connecting to Hashem. So you see from the Rashi that even simple national social unity without Hashem is also a very big power.
Therefore, it's called Torah.
Right, so it gives us, if we could get that, that would also be a very powerhouse level.
Meaning, to put into, like the Haredim, they don't have to get the not religious to become more religious, even just the simple, plain.
Yeah, if you get everybody united about certain, and that we're Jewish, that we have a history, that we have a future. we're united in that, that that's a very big step. Yeah.
In Chassidut, is there an idea, is it possible for someone to cut themselves off from Yechida?
Like, let's Yechida?
Say,
no.
Let's say like a heretic.
No.
It's not possible.
No, you cannot get cut off from the national soul.
Karis?
Oh, I said Ma'amel.
If you commit such a capital crime.
The Hasidus doesn't accept that. No, that Menichas Ma'amel means that the individual gets cut off as an individual from Ma'amel. But the national identity, the Yechida, remains part of Ameha.
So you could still do teshuva even from Kares crime?
Right, that's why you always can do teshuva from Kares, because you never were cut off as part of Am Yisrael. Hmm. Powerful stuff. Ich kann